for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. It's Sunday evening, September the 3rd, 1995. Colonel Speed Wilson of Akron, Ohio, Marine Corps, retired, is the speaker of the evening. This is tape one of two tapes of this service.
For the benefit of some of you who maybe do not know Colonel Speed Wilson, he's a retired Marine, served in three wars, Marine fighter pilot. He was shot down three times in the Pacific and once in the Korean War, then served in Vietnam as commander of the amphibious forces, and then served in the Pentagon the balance of his tenure for 7 years under four presidents. And he has gotten involved in knowing what's going on in America and in the world, and basically not only being a Marine who carries the honors of being the most decorated man of three wars, of all three wars, and Jack Harris, who comes here, is the most decorated man of World War II, dead and living, and so is Speed as well, of the three wars. But Colonel Wilson has got concerned with the things of the nation, and he's made a study of it, and we appreciate him coming, and I'm going to let him up here before, so I can get that little piece of a peanut out of my throat.
Before we start, I'd like to give a little brief introduction so that some of you will understand where we're coming from. Now, we won't have time to go into all of this, but times in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus said the sign that would be the most prevalent before his return was there would be great deceptions. There would be lies, false prophets. Let no man deceive you. He said that three times. I think that's great. My wife likes that one. It's the men that will deceive you, not the women. But, that's a generic term, I think, you know, in the Bible. And here are some of the end-time heresies that have absolutely no basis in the Scripture. That is, that the Hebrew temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Forget it.
Amen.
And the Antichrist will sit in that temple and he will rule. Forget it. Not so. And we support all this with Scripture. And the 70th week of Daniel is in the future, the next 7 years. Forget it. They were all fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, at least 69 and a half, and the other 3.5 years was completed when Philip took the gospel to Samaria. Remember, Jesus says, take the preaching of the gospel to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So, at the end of the last 3.5 years, and that the Antichrist makes a 7-year treaty with Israel. Forget it. Daniel 9:27, you can read it for yourself. You turn on the television and hear these people are talking about that. It has nothing to do with the treaty. Jesus made the covenant with me. You can't get Israel out of many, but if you know the Scriptures, the new covenant was whosoever will. That's many. These people that teach this stuff actually make Jesus Christ out to be the Antichrist. And then the last 7 years of tribulation. Forget it. That's the same last they talk about. There's nowhere in the Bible or anywhere in history that a specific time period composed of specific units of time contained an unmentioned and undefined gap. God doesn't do that sort of stuff. It's only the government that does that. But then the European community. Man, Jack Vinetti's had to juggle this one around so many times, I don't think he knows where he's going, nor when. But anyway, the 1 January 93, the old Roman Empire. Forget it. This conspiracy we'll be talking about, Henry Kissinger by name, has already divided the world into 10 regions. Revelation 17:12. It said that there would be 10 kings or rulers who had no power except the beast system gives it to them. Then Revelation 17:10 mentions 7 kings that do have power. Could you recognize the group of 7? The G7 are fulfilling that. They meet every year. They just finished meeting over in Japan. And the thing that makes all of this stuff necessary is the last one, the great flyaway rapture thing. As Jack Harris said, the rapture is so obvious alive that anybody should be able to see it. But what upsets him is the violence they do to a lot of other scriptures who support the original lie. And that's true. All the webs we weave to cover up a lie. I'm talking about the departure of the saints. People say that Speed Wilson doesn't believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. He's going to return, but we ain't departing. That's the whole bit. When I heard that thing for the first time, I thought, well, what do they do with John 17:15-20, where it says, Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world. So if Jesus is praying you don't get out, what do you think of your chances of getting out? But he said, Father, keep them from the evil one right here on earth. And if he's praying you're going to be kept, glory to God, you're going to be kept. In the last chapter of the little book, it's written, that disproves all this stuff, so you can read it, is my book entitled Rapture, Prophecy or Heresy. And it's for sale right here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And all that's in writing, and you can check it out. And if you think there's going to be a rapture, the last chapter I list 17 scriptures that tell you it requires no interpretation. I'll pay you $10,000 if you'll give me 16 or 17 that says it. And I've made that offer now for 12 years, and nobody's ever submitted an attempt to collect. So apparently, I guess they got a problem, because there aren't any. Now, the conspiracy outfit, but if you want to go back to the conspiracy further back than I talk about it beginning the first day of May 1776. But if you want to go back further than that, another book that's on Guardians of the Grail by J.R. Church, an outstanding research individual, and you'll find it goes way back to, around 1010 A.D., out in that time. And these people are still around. The Habsburgs are still here, and they're the head of the European communities' parliament. So, and they call themselves the Kings of Jerusalem. So they're there, but they have a different spirit. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. Some of you will be shocked to find out the word Antichrist doesn't even appear in the book of Revelation. It's a spirit, it's not a man. But the guy, Mr. 666, would certainly be dominated by that. In fact, I have a tape by that name, Mr. 666. See, these people think they're going to be gone before he ever shows up, and so they're missing it. It's amazing. Well, let's get to tonight. This being the third day of September, the year of our Lord, with some adjustments, 1995. In fact, it's later than you think. The Lord was born 3 B.C. But be that as it may, we'll call it 1995. Now, you and the New World Order conspiracy. Now, this is the fourth in a series of talks on the world conspiracy that I've given here. So if you think I've left out something, get the previous three and you'll find that we've covered it. And they are in a continuity. One picks up where the other one leaves off. And we have to do it that way because we can't go back and repeat every time because things are developing so quickly. That's the way the Lord said it would occur. As the pain in childbirth, when it once starts, it's going to pick up real rapidly. And that the conspirators are doing it. In fact, David Rockefeller, at the last meeting of the Bilderberger Group over in Copenhagen, Denmark, June 8, 9, and 10 of this year, his first remark was, we have to move rapidly toward our goals because the window of opportunity is closing with the rapid increase of nationalism. Some of you people have been waking up. John Major over in England got in a little trouble. He was a part of the conspiracy, but he found out the British didn't want to go that route. So he's going to have to sit on it a while. What's that old joke? Says no matter how exalted a man's throne is, he sits on his own behind. That sort of brings it right down where it is. Well, the first one would be the World Conspiracy Part 1. The next one would be World Conspiracy Part 2. And the third one is naming the conspirators or the conspirators' name. They're available right here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Is there a world conspiracy? Well, we're going to review just a minute for those that this might be new. Yes, there is a continuity and there is a conspiracy, and the Lord called it the spirit of Antichrist. The words Antichrist appear in John. It's the Epistle of John, the first one, chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 22, and also in chapter 4, verse 3. And it's clearly that it is a spirit. It was available, it was present then, and it's still continuing in prophecy. It'll increase its influence to it. But as evil is poured out, my grace shall be poured out all the more. As evil shall abound, my grace will abound all the more. When a young teenager read that one time and said, do we pray for the devil so he'll hurry up so the Lord will come quicker? I said, well, I don't think that's right. In the previous talks, we've talked about the members of the world conspiracy and many of the non-members. It's very interesting that this conspiracy killed Abraham Lincoln because he wouldn't buy his money from them, from the Rothschilds. They killed him. They killed Garfield because he waked up to what was going on. And they also killed John F. Kennedy for the same thing. So there is a continuity. I want to give you some quotes that the others have heard. There are many, many we could give, all the way from Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, on down the line, that all saw it and all detested it. But a Dr. Lacey, Sterling Lacey, wrote an excellent little book in 1988 entitled Valley of Decision. He was trying to tell the American people who George Bush really is and still is. And in this book, he points out, most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and economic reasons, lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our fighting men are dying on the battlefield, sink their own national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a one-world government, promote collectivism, that's communism, and immorality in order to prepare America for the New World Order, destroy the family and true faith in God, and break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system the working people and poor people have ever experienced in the history of mankind. All to create the chaos, remember that, needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery, enslavement. J. Edgar Hoover, 1954, said, the individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he can't believe it really exists. Now, in the previous tapes, we pointed out things that they've done, like injecting the people in South Africa with the AIDS virus and many other things, all through the World Health Organization. An excellent little book entitled WHO, Who Murdered Africa? 40% of the lower African continent is now HIV positive. Unproductive eaters, got to get rid of them. Here is one that really sums it up. It's in a book that was published back in the late 60s. The Unseen Hand, Ralph Epperson. And here's one that really lays it on the line. There is a huge, extreme, powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of small groups of individuals who control wars, revolutions, and depressions like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes or events. The secret within the secret, they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. George Bush was a Satan worshiper, Skull and Bones. Third generation family member, the Skull and Bones. People say, well, he said, God bless you. Well, he's talking about another God. Funny, somebody asked him to say, Jesus is Lord, and see what kind of an answer you'd get. So on and on. And people wanted to take Pat Robertson apart because he thought the Jews were God's chosen people. Well, my answer was, why don't you ask George Bush his position on that? Your choice wasn't between George Bush and Jesus Christ. You have to vote for the lesser of the two. Like one Presbyterian pastor, when he went in to vote for either Perot, Clinton, or Bush, he called it the unholy trinity. But He said that he prayed and he said, Lord, lead me by your Holy Spirit as to who I'm going to vote for. Then he stepped in and voted and stepped out and told God to forgive him. He did have to vote. But you can become informed, and that's my purpose of being here. Let's see what a conspirator had to say about it. And they say a whole lot about it. 1966, Dr. Carol Quigley, Georgetown University, a sponsor of our current president into the Rhodes Scholar Program, along with the Senator J. William Fulbright, Rhodes Scholar, and also from the state of Arkansas. And they sponsored him into the Rhodes Scholar Program. Dr. Quigley, and this was the first real authoritative source I ever saw of it back in 1968, wrote a book entitled Tragedy and Hope. And he says right in here that he has been a member of this for 20 years. In the last 2 years, he was examining the secret papers and records of this establishment, and he wanted to set it down as a historical reference. 1,384 pages. Most enlightening. Here's what he says, the most succinct summarization. The aim of these organizations is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the whole world. Freedom of choice will be controlled, continuing to quote Quigley, will be controlled within a very narrow alternatives by the fact that every person will be numbered from birth and followed by as a number, not as a name, through educational training, required military or other public service, tax contributions, health and medical requirements, and final retirement and death benefits. Isn't that something? Sounds a whole lot like a mark of the beast, doesn't it? Well, if you're frightened by that sound, then you ought to get my tape entitled The Mark of the Beast, because it comes out altogether different when you take the whole counsel of God's Word rather than one verse and that out of context. Before you ever get to Revelation 13, 17, and 18, you'll find that God has marked his people in their forehead about seven times. And the Satan can't get those out. So you cannot be buying and selling with a number or a mark or a chip or a card or whatever. But what gets you in trouble, if you don't believe it, the Word says in Revelation that everyone on the earth will worship the beast except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What gets you in trouble is worship. I already told you it doesn't apply to you. And get off of that stupid thing about everybody having 666 in their forehead. How could you identify everybody with the same number? Get real, man. Or the product, universal product codes. No. The number is your social security number. In the Greek, gematria, as they call it, gematria, every letter had a numerical equivalent. And so, the letter S in the Greek alphabet, stigma, has the numerical number of 6. Social Security System, SSS666. It's even funnier up in Canada. They call it their social insurance number. It's their SIN number. It's their SIN number. It is a sense of humor, though, that the zip code for the Consul on Foreign Relations on Michigan Avenue in Chicago is 60606. I think that's great. Kissinger's name also adds up that way 4 times with no hanky-panky. Clinton's crime control bill was about people control. Thank God it didn't go. But they will. Remember, your alternatives are going to be very narrowly controlled through the whole operation. So, the preamble to the UN, the United Nations New World Order Constitution, says this. It's already been drafted. The age of nations must end, and the age of humanity begin. Doesn't that sound lofty? The governments of the nations have decided, in order to separate sovereignties into one government of justice to which they surrender their arms, both military and civilian, to establish this Constitution as the covenant and fundamental law of the Federal Republic of the World, end quote. Humanity, the Humanist Manifesto, says there is no God, man must solve his own problems. God says, the fool has said there is no God. So guess who drafted the Constitution of the United Nations? A bunch of fools. One man insisted there was no God, and he was out fishing one day, and he caught a note, and he pulled it out. And the note says there is no God, signed God, so he bought it. Surrender their arms. That's very clear. Did you get that Federal Republic of the world, like the People's Republic of China, or the United Soviet Socialist Republics? Right down the line. The fifth day of October, 1977, President Carter signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Every president since 1948 had absolutely refused to sign that treaty, because once it was ever signed and submitted or ratified by the Senate, ceased to exist as a sovereign nation. It didn't take long for President Clinton to submit it, and the Senate approved it by a voice vote, so you'll never know who voted for it, who voted against it, voted for it and approved it, ratified the second day of April 1992, and we ceased to be a sovereign nation on that date, because according to the provision of Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, it became, quote, the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. And that happened. The media didn't tell you about it. They're not about to tell you about it because they're all controlled by the same conspiracy. Only one to be added to the conspiracy now. Peter Jennings became a Bilderberger this year. All the rest have been CFR trilateral all along. We'll review some of their most visible organizations, and they have many. Consul on Foreign Relations, Rockefeller, 1921, created in 1921 to control. And beginning in 1923, Secretary of State, every Secretary of Defense, and every Secretary of Treasury, and every president with the exception of Ronald Reagan. And then the Trilateral Commission, founded in 1973 by Zbigniew Brzezinski. By the way, Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, who ran two administrations, neither of them are American citizens, natural born. They were imports for a purpose. And trilateral means European community, United States and Canada, now it includes Mexico, and the Japanese, the Pacific Rim. And that triad, with representatives from each, they control about 93% of the total world's wealth, so they're very strong. Trilateral Commission. The Bilderbergs, they met in the Bilderberg over in Vienna in 1952, and sort of a Rothschild set up, become a merger, and they meet regularly. As I mentioned, they just finished meeting in June. They usually meet in June. And then Rhodes Scholars. That's the most interesting one. You thought Rhodes Scholars had to be brilliant. I don't think so. In fact, well, I won't get off on questioning their IQ. But here's what the Rhodes Scholars say about themselves. Sir Francis Wiley, the first Oxford trustee of the Rhodes estate, said, "This is not an educational endowment as ordinarily understood. Its purpose is not to give anybody an education he could not otherwise afford, nor to promote learning." Isn't that interesting? "But is to encourage in a rising generation of English-speaking people a particular outlook on the problems of the world, to give them, in fact, a political bias." Brainwash is the word. "This idea of using scholarships as instruments of political purposes was instituted by Cecil Rhodes in 1893, end quote, Sir Wiley. So there's your Rhodes Scholars. A lot of them in Bill Clinton's cabinet right now, and they're all around. Dean Rusk, Rhodes Scholar, Fulbright, Rhodes Scholar, Wizard White, Rhodes Scholar, the little fellow that runs the budget and money management, Rhodes Scholar, and some of the others. You see jokes, he's one of the little people, and very powerful, though. And George Bush was interesting. He was... Reagan had to take George Bush to get elected. Vice President Bush, Mentor of Consul Foreign Relations, Trilateral, Bilderberger, and Skull and Bones. George Bush had the highest number of conspirators in his cabinet, over 300.
But President Clinton exceeds that now, having over 500. There are only about 2,500 members in the whole organization. The rest of them are running universities, banks, and other things. And the news media. Everybody in the news media that is anybody is a part of this. In the Congress, we have 14 senators who are members and 21 representatives who are members. Might be a little shocking to you, Geb Hart, the minority in the House, and the Speaker of the House are both CFR members. So don't expect any big changes. Some of you may be a little upset to find out in the news that these so-called conservatives like, George Will and Bill Buckley and all those people are members of the conspiracy. That's the reason you'll never hear the things I'm talking about being talked about in the news, because they're all members. I'm not saying everybody that's in there knows what it's going. That's what happened to Nixon. He was a member of the CFR, but he figured out where it was going, and he was more American than he was conspirator, and they had to get rid of him. That's what Watergate was all about. Nobody drowned in Watergate. You want to talk about Chappaquiddick a minute or two? Nobody was killed at Watergate. You want to talk about Vance Foster for a little bit? Nobody made any money on Watergate. You want to talk about Whitewater for a while? It's amazing. They ruined Nixon because they wanted to. But they're going to cover up for a while. They may be about ready to dump the present president because nobody believes him. And he may have served his purpose. If they choose to kill him, they'll kill him. And then, out of sympathy, and everybody will follow the wooden Windian. Al Gore. What a miss. New Ager, tree hugger, spotted owl kisser. Heinz Alfred Kissinger, and that's his real name, is like the chief executive officer of the World Council World Conspiracy. And as I said, you can get my tape, Mr. 666, and he fulfills all the scriptures I can find, and even the ones that they know not. Kissinger recently had a big dinner in Washington, D.C. Wasn't reported in any of the local newspapers. Important. With all the leaders of the world-controlled or world-conspiracy media, like Catherine Graham, who controls the Washington Post, News Associated Press, CFR, Trilateral, Bilderberger, makes all their meetings. In fact, David Rockefeller said the year before, he congratulated all the people in the media who were in attendance, and I'll show you a chart later that you can get a list of them, that he congratulated them because they could not have accomplished their objectives to date without the news media's cooperation, which reads silence. Guess who the dinner was in honor of? Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. So you can expect he's going to start getting better press. And don't rule him out as the next president of the United States. Well, June the 20th, 1943, red-hot graduate of Pensacola going out to win the war, H. Speed Wilson stood up as a second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps, and I took an oath. I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of these United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic. Well, some 25 years later, I began to realize our real enemies were domestic. They're right here among us. And they're the most dangerous. They talk like us and they tell us they're our friends. They're not. In other tapes, I've told you how I came into knowing this. So in 1968, when I became aware of this conspiracy, I thought I better read the Constitution. And an amazing thing occurred. I found I could understand it. Understand it till they get on the Supreme Court and then they can ignore it. That's the But thank God we got one there that's going to stick with it. Clarence Thomas. We'll get back to him in a minute. And the establishment really knew that because they tried to do everything they could to keep him. Well, fought in three wars, as Glenn said. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, served in combat for a total of 3 years and 3 months, 13 months in each war. I've been involved in 14 major battles and campaigns. And I'm not about to lay down. And hear me what I'm about to say right now. I am totally convinced that the sovereignty of our beloved country and our individual freedoms are in more danger right now than they've ever been in my whole lifetime. Maybe even in the history of our whole country. We are at war. And this is a war we cannot lose. We must not lose. We must know and identify the enemy. That's the first thing you do, is to identify your enemy and then to know his techniques. And as I've said, we've covered those in the three previous talks on this subject. To understand requires knowledge, and to gain knowledge requires effort. Most people won't make the effort. You've heard about the thing the guy said, but do you understand this wide apathy but among the people? And the guy answered, no, I don't, and I could less. And that's about the size of it. As they often say, two ends to use. It's heads you ten in, heads you win, and tails you lose. Well, nine times in the New Testament, God said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I love the little story that goes along with that. There was a beautiful girl in a congregation of a bunch of Christians, and there were about 10 young men that just were convinced beyond any doubt that she was to be. One of them, very spiritual, he demanded that she give him a biblical reference. So she took one of those nine, except she wrote it down, punctuated, and it read like this. I will not have you, ignorant brother. Proverbs 28:2. By a man of understanding and knowledge, his state shall endure. Well, Isaiah 5:13, my people are taken into captivity or slavery because they have no knowledge. Isaiah 53:11, by knowledge shall the righteous servant justify many. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5, give all diligence, and to your faith add virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Knowledge is number three in the progression of maturity. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. Knowledge does require some effort. Now, wisdom comes from God. And if you lack wisdom, ask, and he'll give you. He'll give it to you liberally and won't call you a dummy because you ask. That's my paraphrase. Wisdom really tells you what to do with knowledge. Knowledge is useless and useless if you don't have some wisdom. And we're to understand. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than carnal weapons of war. So we should get some knowledge and some understanding. And we're going to look now at some other provisions. Our enemy is dominated and controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. You have to remember that. That's the reason they hate you. All of the real upper level leaders of this conspiracy are Satan worshipers. The Golden Dawn Coven over in Europe and in the United States, it's the Grove out in San Francisco. And they meet out there pretty regular. And if you don't know Jesus, some people have overlooked this. If you don't know Jesus, then you are Antichrist. Because Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And by one spirit are you translated from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. There are only two kingdoms involved. There's no neutrality in this. You're going to have to make a decision. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So come on now. It's going to happen. Avoid the rush. This is why the world council and that whole bunch hate Christians. Jesus told us, because they have hated me, they'll hate you also. And he says they'll hate you without cause. They'll hate you and they don't know why. So, if the world speaks pretty well of you, Jesus said you better watch out. Most preachers that preach the word haven't had any problem with the world accepting them very much. Well, one of their organizations, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, it's actually the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. And then the NEA, both the National Education Association and the National Endowment for Arts, and the National Organization of Women over in China now. I love the way the Chinese are treating them. And this one fellow says they ought to call it the National Association of Girls or Gals, and that way it would be an abbreviated NAGS. Dear old John Wayne, years ago, they asked him what he thought about the feminist movement, and he said, I'd take it a lot more serious if I ever saw one that looked like a woman. Must have had Absol in mind. Another one I love of old John Wayne's, thank God he accepted the Lord before he died. He said, what do you think about equality of women? And he said, I'm all for it. They've been superior too long. And the women all said, amen. Well, we'll give one to the men. As one guy said, my wife and I never argue, but we do have some moments of intense fellowship. If you want to see some hate crimes, just listen to the liberal media and read theirs. They hate you, and they don't make any bones about it. But you see, bashing of Christians and insulting Christians is politically correct. The media constantly berates the radical religious right. Some of the current administration says they're more dangerous than Hitler. Well, they are to their plans. And they keep beating at us just to be fearful. We're going to force our views upon them. No, we don't force them. You can't. Because some of them are tares and they ain't going to make it. And you don't know a tare from a wheat, so you just give them the gospel and some will accept it and won't, you know. Some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. And they do really fear you. They really hate the radical religious right. I've always wondered, why do they call it the radical religious right? Well, from their perspective, it is, because they're the radical atheistic left. From their position, you are radical religious and on the right. So there has to be a radical atheistic left. It's amazing. They are all humanistics. They are atheists. And I want you to know right now that I know our hope is in the Lord our God. I know that. However, it must be, it is most urgent for our survival as an independent country and of our individual rights as guaranteed under the Constitutional Republic. And our Constitutional Republic was a Christian nation at that time. And our individual freedom, that we accept our responsibilities, and it is our business. The Constitutional Republican government was established, the Constitution was approved, in 1787. Then the same individual suddenly realized that they had created a monster. It could become a monster. So 4 years later, in 1791, they drafted and gave amendments called the Bill of Rights to protect you from the government, not the government from you. And I want to just have a little introductory to those, and we'll see how far we've come in not living up to that. I'd like to read the preamble to our Constitution first. It's most important. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, tranquility, and provide a common defense, promote the general welfare, not welfare for the general public, but general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now we're going to look into the articles that we call the Bill of Rights. First Amendment, very important. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or prohibit the free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the media today, or the right for people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We sure don't live by that one anymore. Did you notice it was freedom of religion, not freedom from religion? And to be freely exercised with no government interference whatsoever. But then in a state, the government shall never establish a religion. Well, it's obvious what they were talking about. They didn't want a national religion or a state religion like the Anglican Church in England. The Church in Germany has absolutely nothing to do with Christians staying out of the government, but the government staying out of the churches. The free exercise thereof. Now, the press doesn't like that, but if it applies to the Christians, that they can't get involved in the government, Well, then, bless God, it says free speech and the media can't get into it either. Shouldn't take an idiot out. But they don't, it doesn't apply to them, you see. I saw a bumper sticker that says, why be politically correct when you can be right? Freedom of the media. Well, I'm all for the freedom of the media, but they're trying to close down a lot of the ones that are telling you what's really going on. The liberal media demands their First Amendment rights, but deny it to Christians, their radical religious right. The Supreme Court has ruled that godless, atheistic humanism is a religion. Well, it's practiced and proclaimed and exercised freely and actually taught in the government schools, called public schools. It is, in fact and reality, a government-established religion. So they have failed in both cases. They're trying to get rid of true God religion and put in atheistic humanism religion. The free exercise. I'd like to tell you, I've met a dear man by the name of Everett Sylvain. His name now is Everett Ramsey, because the name Sullivan or Sylvain was his grandparents' name, and they had adopted him. But now he's going back to the name of his mother and father, Ramsey. And I spoke at his convention in Brampton, Missouri, with nearly 1,000 people there. And some others right here with you. I don't want to mention names on the tape because it might get you on the hit list. But because when I got home from there, there was a call from the New York Times wanting me to tell them what they talked about. And so I told them that it was a public meeting and the tapes were available, $3 a piece. He'll call Dr. Sullivan and send them all the tapes. And he said, well, I want to know what you said about it. I said, I've worked in Washington long enough that I'm not going to tell you anything because you'll never get it right anyway. I don't know. They don't intend to tell the truth. No way. Well, Dr. Sullivan, or Ramsey if you prefer, had a church up in Nebraska. It had a school, a week-time school, church school. He had two problems. He refused to apply for tax-exempt status. He didn't think he wanted to do that. He didn't want anything that was approving him to do anything. He was not beholden to the government. And he insisted he didn't have to, because if he registered, then that would be an infringement on religion, the free exercise thereof. He was exercising his constitutional rights. He also refused to have the teachers in the school certified by the state, because he said that also would be an interference with the free exercise thereof. I was watching the 700 Club at that time, and Pat Robertson came on and said, I want to show you a video. And it showed the federal agents coming in, actually picking up Everett right out of his the pulpit, carried him out the door, put the handcuffs on him, put him in the car, and hauled him off. And Pat Robertson came on and says, what you just saw is not happening in the Soviet Union. That's not the end of the story. Because the news media, as Paul Harvey would say, and that's the rest of the story. A Marine veteran from Vietnam, with his legs blown away, saw it on the 700 Club. He came from California, put on his white uniform with his medals, one being the Silver Star and the Bronze Star and all the other. And, of course, I think he had 4 Purple Hearts. And he called all the news media and had them show up at the church and told them that he was going to be there, and he told them what he was going to do. So they all showed up with their cameras and all the reporters up to the door with a bolt cutter. And he says, I didn't lose my legs and see my friends die in Vietnam to see this happen in my country. This thing's coming off. And if you want to shoot me now, do it while the cameras are grinding. Well, then some of the elders got brave and they lined up with him and they cut the bolt cutter off, the lock off, and that church has been open ever since. I think he accepted the standard operating procedure. When in doubt, attack straight ahead, and once you make contact, don't turn loose. Because if you've got problems, the enemy's having more problems. The free exercise era. Well, how about the Branch Davidians? Got to wake up. A duly authorized, state-approved, tax-exempt church had been there since 1935. Been a problem. Had many different leaders. The people who lived around it thought they were great neighbors. Well, why they would pick on that group by claiming that they had weapons or guns, yes, they did. And the former sheriff of 12 years down there in McLennan County said that, yes, they had guns. He had been in there three times, and the district attorney had been in there once to check out because they had rumors that they were abusing children. And they had weapons. And they called up, and the leader would say, come on out. And they went in and found the kids were well-educated, well-cared for, a lot better than the ones in the government schools. And all the weapons, yes, they had a 50-caliber machine gun, but it was duly registered, and they paid the $200 fee on it. The rest of the weapons were legal, as recommended under the Second Amendment. But one morning, a whole bunch of people showed up, ATF, FBI, and started shooting at the compound. They said the Davidians fired. That's a lie. We have him on the video. He came to the door and said, stop! Don't you know there are women and children in here? Now we know from the Justice Department's own investigation of 520-some pages, which was super cosmic secret and nobody could get it, but somebody over there in the area got it and put it on the internet. It went all over the world. And it was worse than we thought. They never intended for the Davidians to surrender. Why would they do that? To put the fear of God in you, that if you believe the Bible and know Jesus Christ as your Lord, then you're doomed. Having guns, man, the streets are loaded with people with guns that are killing each other. Why go out and pick on a group that never used a gun for anything other than gun shows and that type thing? And they were not hostages. They were there of their own accord. By the way, the girl that showed up, I forget her name, Jewel, I think was her last name, a British newspaper, all the people in Washington accepted that she had been molested by Branch Davidian Davis Carrish. But the London Sunday Telegraph, is that it, Telegraph, did a few calling around and found that she'd never been in the compound. She lived with her mother out in California, her grandmother out in California. You should have known it. My wife said one saw it on C-SPAN. She's lying. It takes a woman to sense it because she's reading it word by word. So, but the news media, besides, what difference that make? Child molestation is not a federal offense. Federal government had no business being there. We'll talk about a duly signed search warrant in a minute. Subpoena, search warrant. The search warrant was signed by a justice of the peace. He is not authorized to issue warrants for federal offenses. It takes a federal judge to give such thing. Well, you've seen JPs. I've seen them. Some of them in the areas I work, they have sense enough to come out of the rain. And they're not required to do anything except rule on speed tickets and stuff like that and marry people that are heathens. But and peaceably assemble. Well, how about the Branch Davidians there? By the way, the Branch Davidians, they killed 81 people, 24 of them children. They were all dead. The children torched the place from the CS gas. And it's true. We couldn't even use it in Vietnam because it's outlawed by the Geneva Conventions of War. They were all dead before because the reason we weren't allowed to use it because it's deadly in a confined space. And definitely so to young children who haven't developed it. It's against the law that was passed way back in the 1800s that you can't use military forces against civilians. And the tank was a flamethrower tank. And if you've seen the video, the Waco lie, you can see this tank punching a hole in the wall and shooting flame stuff into the thing. And it torched it. Grievances against the government. Well, grievance, but there's not much you can do about it, at least for now. Second Amendment. A free people ought not to be, not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have, get this, sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Boy, what a radical rowler would ever have said that. Must have been in the militia. Must have been a redneck. Definitely good old Joe Sixpack. nor it was the President of the United States, George Washington. So let's read what the Second Amendment says. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, not a nation, a state, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be interfered with, infringed. I would submit to you that requiring people to register their weapon is an infringement. Definitely requiring people before they can buy a weapon to wait whatever the waiting period is definitely an infringement. And at least 7 of 8 sheriffs out in the West that have refused to do that on that basis. And besides, as they pointed out, they're not out there to enforce federal laws. Isn't that something? The federal government not only spends your money on goofy stuff, but they now pass mandates that the states have to spend money they don't have. I was looking up liberal the other day just to see what its term was in a Reader's Digest big dictionary, and it gave the usual, but down at the bottom it says, the old boy from Oklahoma, the old philosopher, Will Rogers said, I can remember when liberal applied to someone who was liberal with his own money, was generous with his own money. He also jabbed the news media. Somebody asked him what he thought, and he laughed and said, well, I don't know, what are you reading the paper? Many people have talked about how unreliable that is. Well, registration is an infringement. Registration has always led to confiscation. What they're doing in the United States is exactly what Hitler did prior to the war over there, step by step. One of the senators, Keating, I'll think of his name in a minute. His father was in the Nuremberg trials, and he had Hitler's gun control laws interpreted, and that's the ones he's in doing. Christopher Dodd is his name, Senator Dodd. The radical atheistic left, along with Ted Kennedy and others. Do you know the difference between an assault weapon and a normal weapon? Well, they say anything that is a semi-automatic. My wife has been around the Marine Corps as long as I had, almost. She didn't know that automatic weapons have been outlawed for a long time, unless they were specially registered. An automatic weapon is when you press the trigger, it just keeps shooting until you run out of ammunition or you take your finger off the trigger. A semi-automatic has now been called an assault weapon, but you've got to pull the trigger every time you want to shoot. They didn't know that, and I bet most Americans don't. I saw a good cartoon the other day. Remember the Minutemen that fought for our independence? The statue up in somewhere in Vermont? And it's the Minuteman with his three-cornered hat, and he's standing there with the old musket by his side. But the cartoon showed him standing there with a garden hoe. No comment. Another one was the British Britishman back when he was in the colonies, and he's looking at a farmer, and the farmer had a rifle, and the British mercenary is saying, "What does a farmer like you need with an assault weapon?" Well, he needed it for independence. We're either going to, now that they say that the place was blown up with fertilizer out there in Oklahoma, we're going to have to register assault fertilizer. It's been proven beyond any doubt that was not used. Anybody that knows anything about explosives, it's such a crude weapon that you would find that stuff splattered all over everywhere, and they didn't find any. It was a highly technical job. General Parton, Brigadier General Air Force, an explosive expert, immediately got on the wire after looking at pictures and wrote every senator that he possibly could and told them, please don't let them destroy the evidence of that building. There were at least 6 bombs involved. Iron sticking out. Iron doesn't stick out unless it's a contact explosion. It just cracks concrete. He said, if you had 2 tons of fertilizer and fuel out in front, about all it would have done is shear the plate glass off the front and wouldn't have done any damage. And the little experience I had, I recognize that. But they don't want any evidence. Look what they did in Waco. Level it. Burn them. Destroy the building. So no evidence. I was in aircraft accident investigation for quite a few years, and we always got every piece out to find what went wrong. Much more important to find out. Isn't it interesting? They couldn't even indict McVeigh in 90 days. They had to get an extension, so apparently their case is just a little weak. McVeigh may be like Oswald. He may be just a fall guy. Isn't it interesting that the 9 BATF people that had offices in that building didn't show up for work that day? And a lot of Waco evidence was in the building. Well, they got to disarm the citizens in violation of this, and they keep going on. The media propaganda will keep beating it. And as soon as the Oklahoma City thing, we got to have more gun control. We got to get rid of the militia. Well, guns weren't involved in Oklahoma, and neither was the militia. McVeigh was never a member of the militia. But that didn't make any difference. When a visitor from Indiana with his family was visiting in New York and was stabbed to death in the subway, Mayor Dawkins the next morning said, "Boy, we've got to get that gun control in here. Little kid was stabbed to death." That's just the party line. The way they work this is they get you all worked up about some problem, whether it's imaginary or real, doesn't make any difference. And then they'll present you their intended solution in the beginning. And then you're so panicked that you buy the whole stupid thing. Like, remember the oil crisis? Well, I came from Andrews County, Texas, and they got oil coming out of their ears down there. And still have. It's the largest oil-producing county in the whole state of Texas.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.